Thank you, Tim. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with you guys tonight. Happy Sabbath to some of you, if because the day is dying in the West. I believe that we're living in some very interesting times, especially with the things that are happening day to day, and as things progress, it's showing us very rapidly that Jesus is coming soon. And so I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to his return. I'm looking forward to seeing him soon. In harmony with, I think, a lot of things that we've been dealing with recently, I found this promise earlier on during this COVID season or pandemic season that has really blessed my soul. And I hope and I pray that it blesses your soul as well. But before we hop into the word and see what this promise is in Isaiah, I just want to have a quick word of prayer with you guys. Let's pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have of coming to study your word. Lord, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross, so not me seen and heard, but you seen and heard. We love you, dear Lord, and we look forward to seeing you soon. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. If not, I'll read it to you. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." For the time that we have a little bit together in this devotional segment, I just want to talk under the subject entitled, God is with us. God is with us. So like I said earlier, the past couple days and the past couple months have been very interesting months for us, because we're dealing with this new normal. We have this pandemic of COVID-19 that has been plaguing our country, and that has been hitting us globally. And a lot of people are scared to leave their homes, scared to go and interact with family and friends. And they have been listening to what the news is saying. They've been listening to what World Health Organizations and people have been saying about this pandemic, but they don't know how else to go on and how else to move forward. But I'm reminded of something in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 6-8. Jesus says, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." And verse 8 is something that is very interesting about this whole promise. He says, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." So Jesus gives us the narrative to what is actually going to happen. He's saying, when you see all these different things, just know that my return is to be soon. Just know that these things have to happen in order for me to come and take my people back with me. And so when we read Isaiah 43 and verse 2, we see that God shows his presence with the Israelites. That God tells the Israelites, "I have been with you. I have been with you when you went through the fire. I have been with you when you went through the rivers." And I believe he's using this in a metaphoric language, because he's telling them that when you go through the Red Sea, when you go through this wilderness experience, you're going to be able to walk on a dry highway. I believe that when he says a pillar of fire or fire or flames, that he's basically talking about the pillar of fire that guided and protected the Israelites as they went out of Egypt into the promised land. And so this promise reminds us that even though we might face fires, even though we might face seas, that God is present and that God will carry us through whatever sorrows and whatever problems we're dealing with in our lives, and that we don't have to face them alone. But God is with us, and God was with the Israelites in the text as well. And this is a simple reminder to us that God never said that the weapons would not form. He just said that they would not prosper. And that's what I have to remember sometimes when I'm going through some difficult seasons, when I'm dealing with some difficult things in my life, that God never said that the weapons would not form. He just said that they would not prosper. There's a difference in the weapons forming and the weapons prospering. And so you have to remember God's promises. You have to, when you're going through this experience, you have to remember that God says in his word, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So I have a couple of promises that I really, really love, and I want to share them with you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am the Lord, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Exodus 15 and verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, it says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Joshua 1, 9, "Haven't not I commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not fret, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." John 16 and verse 3, it says, "I have said to you these things, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart that I have overcome the world." And so in other words, we have so many promises that we can hold on to and that we can claim and that we can grasp when things get challenging. But we have to remember that God is with us, that God is a present help in times of trouble, that God says in Psalms 46 and verse 10, to be still and know that he is God. He says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So God would never bring us to something to leave us in a desolate state. He would bring us to something to remind us of how much we need him and how much more we cannot do it on our own, but we need to trust in him and depend upon him totally. But there's another thing that we have to remember. We cannot only just remember the promises, but we have to remember his name. We have to remember the name that we use to call God. I don't know what you call God, but I call him Jehovah El Shaddai, God Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, Provider, Jehovah Nishi, Banner, Jehovah Shalom, Peace. For somebody, he's been a balm in Gilead. He's been a waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can continue going on with names to describe exactly what and who God is. But we have to remember not only just his name, but his promises, as well as what his word says. There's a story that happened to me when I was a toddler, and I'm often reminded of it. I remember we were going to my grandpa's house, and my grandpa had a dog named Coco. Now, at the time, I was kind of scared of Coco, kind of scared of dogs, because I didn't like having interactions with dogs. And so we pulled up to my grandpa's house, and Coco comes to my side of the car and comes to where I'm sitting in the car and begins to start sniffing me out and trying to see, you know, exactly what I'm doing, what's going on and whatever. And I remember getting afraid and being scared because Coco's big, huge dog and I'm just a little short person. And so I'm like, "Dad, please come and help me." Like, my dad can see, and my dad was actually on the front porch of my grandpa's house. And my dad looked back and he can see me scared, nervous, afraid, And he came and picked me up and took me into the house. Now, there's something significant about what happened there, and I don't want you to miss this because it's very crucial for you to understand and comprehend, and it'll help you grasp this picture of what I'm trying to explain about God being with us. Even though I was scared and I was afraid of what was going to happen next, I knew that as long as my daddy was carrying me on his shoulder and on his, like putting my body on, connected to him, I knew that I was going to be all right. I knew that everything was going to be okay. Matter of fact, I remember very vividly being on his shoulder and looking behind him and seeing the dog, Coco, be in the back of us, following us into the house. And that reminds me of what God does for us. God basically picks us up and takes us through situation after situation and problem after problem and carries us in to the house. Now, let me explain it this way, and let me say this. I'm not guaranteeing that your situation or what you're dealing with in your life is going to be all roses and rainbows. No, I'm not saying that because there are some things that we have to deal with. There are some things that we have to face in this life in order to learn and in order to depend and trust completely in God. But what I am saying is that God is present in the storm. God is a present father in the storm. God is with us no matter what happens, no matter what situation we go through. God is with us right there in the middle of it, and he is willing to take care of us. He is willing to bring us through whatever problem, whatever situation that we're dealing with. And I want to leave you with this last couple of words from a song that you might know, very, very familiar to those of us who have been born and raised Adventists. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. And the chorus says, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. And so I want to shift gears now and kind of open it up to a discussion period and kind of talk about exactly how can we deal with this season and really believe and understand that God is with us. Even though we're living in trying times, we're seeing the news, we're seeing everything that is going on and that's happening in front of us. How can we continue to keep on moving forward? So if anybody has a response to that question of how we can keep moving forward or what's your thoughts about the devotional, I would love to hear them at this time and kind of create this moment where we can dialect a little bit virtually, but not, you know, in person. I wish it was in person, but you know, we're all in different parts of the world. So we can do this dialogue virtually. So anybody have any comments or questions? Nobody?
I mean, okay. Hi, Christian.
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Good. So I just want to make sure I have the question. You're saying, how can we maintain peace during this time?
Yes. I feel like a lot of people, especially in our generation, youth and adults, have become very discouraged because of what has happened and what has conspired. But how can we be at peace during these challenging times?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I definitely, what is it, align with what you're expressing. It's definitely been quite a week for the country at large. For me, I guess what I'm trying to be intentional about doing is unplugging. And by unplugging, I mean, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
By unplugging, I mean like disconnecting from it all and pouring myself, you know, into Christ. So by that, I was talking to someone and the person was sharing with me that even Jesus went on his boat at times. He knew like, okay, there's a lot to be dealt with, but I might need to get on this boat and get away from the people every now and again, or spend my time with the Lord. So sometimes we need to get into our metaphorical boat, because sometimes all of the things of this world can get really overwhelming. So I'm trying my best to be intentional about that, because I know personally some of the things in the news had me crying this week. So I had to try to just unplug and really get myself recentered and refueled. And I also had to remind myself truly over and over that I'm not alone, and that God cares about what we're facing, that we're God's children, that God made us, that God loves us, that God is acquainted. And it's crazy how every time I read the Bible and I asked the Lord to speak to me in his word, because I needed a word, I would land on a verse that said just what I needed. Like this morning was cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And the other day there were different verses. So I don't know. That's been for me.
And I thank you for really bringing and emphasizing that point out, is kind of disconnecting ourselves from social media and other platforms because of how toxic they can be, especially if we're, as we're going and trying to grow closer to Christ. And I feel like this is a very prime time to be more intentional with building a relationship with Christ, because it's crazy.
I have one more thing. If we didn't even get the chance to unplug in the week, I think that's the whole purpose of the Sabbath too, because sometimes it can be hard. So if you didn't get to in the other 6 days, the Sabbath day is just like a cool 24-hour time where you can really just for real unplug and really get that chance to refuel and get the energy you need to get through it.
Definitely. And I try not to take my Sabbath for granted, because, you know, I feel like sometimes we can become busybodies. Not saying that what we do on, I guess from my standpoint, I'm a media professional, well, not really technically yet, but in the sense of, since everything is going virtual, I've been working more. I spent more time doing editing, doing all these different projects to get ready in anticipation for Divine Worship Experience. And so, you know, sometimes for me personally, I'm just going to be honest and transparent. It's not a day of rest to me. It feels more of like a day of work, because yeah. I'm always preparing and I'm anticipating. And then after I leave here, then that's when I can rest, because I know that everything is done. All the checks are done. Like, you know, I got everything that I needed to do in for divine worship done.
Based on what you just said, two things that I think would be so valuable. There's this book by John Mark Comer called Ruthless Elimination of Hurry that really talks about how we hurry so much. Like literally we hurry to eat, we hurry through our devotions, we hurry in the car, we're always hurrying, we're hurrying in the shower. And all this hurrying really like causes us not to live at all. There's so many beautiful parts of our life that we're missing out on because we're always in a rush. And it really kind of dives into how to slow down and just the beauty of what the Sabbath really is. That's why when you were talking a while ago Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I can type it in the chat too. But yeah, it blew me away seeing everything. I mean, it talks about even just the existence of the clock and how we thought when we didn't have time that we were, you know, advanced, but having time actually gives us less time, if that makes any sense. So back in the Bible days when they didn't have a clock, they were able to come noonday and time was more freely given. But now that our days are measured by the second and by the minute and by the hour, we're less effective because of all it. So it's like, it'll change your life. It's very interesting. But in addition to that, there's this lady named Dr. Dalton something. Oh man, I don't know her full name, but she has like this book as well that talks about like the 7 types of rest. And I encourage you guys to check that out too. I can almost pull it up. But what you're saying is like really powerful because rest is huge. I think sometimes the book mentions how sometimes if the devil can't destroy us, like in sin, he destroys us by distractions. Sometimes just that busybodiness, it accomplishes the same thing just in a different way. Because essentially the goal that Satan has is keep us from Jesus, keep us from spending time with God. So however we can do that, you know, it's like almost like that Mary Martha thing. Like,
No, it's definitely something that I've been, and I guess it's just the, I don't know how to really describe how I am in this point, in this station I'm in. When it comes down to being engaged with church, I love church. I've always been somebody who has always been going to church, but I find it hard to really grasp with the idea of we're on a tight schedule each week. And so we've got to make something happen because this is the work. I'm not excusing the work. I'm not saying let's not do the work. The work is important. People need to hear the gospel. People need to hear that Jesus is coming soon, especially in these times that we're living in. But I feel like there's more and a more effective way of how I can do things, how I can do my work as an employee, but also be able to reach people with the gospel. There's a question that came in, and I want to share it. This individual said that they've had a hard time really unplugging and disconnecting themselves because they feel like they're really missing out on a lot of things. And so what are some starter tips that we can give to people that feel like they have to be so engaged with what's going on and what's happening? And I'm not saying don't be engaged, but what are some tips that we can give to somebody that wants to get away, but at the same time doesn't know how to get away? That can be through social media, that can be the news or whatever else comes to mind. Any thoughts on that?
I have a thought, but I don't know if I'm talking too much. I'm not trying to. It's just I have a lot to say.
So no, you can go ahead. Go ahead, Catherine.
Oh. I think sometimes, like I know in my own case, and I guess that's where I'm sharing from, sometimes like busyness is a type of avoidance. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, like, what do I feel uncomfortable facing in slowness and stillness? And sometimes whatever that is what needs to be addressed and faced. So sometimes it's things like that. Sometimes it's just overproductivity or not understanding the value of slowing down. I had to do that as well to really see, wow, I'm actually more productive when I'm refreshed. I'm actually nicer to people, therefore I'm not as burnt out when I'm refreshed. So just having, I guess, understanding the value of it, as well as, you know, why you personally may not want to do it. Because for me, boredom is terrible. I don't like boredom. I'd rather be too busy than too bored. You have to ask yourself sometimes why. Like, why is doing nothing so traumatic? And you have to dive in sometimes.
They say it's the art of doing nothing. That's what a lot of people suffer with is not really coming to terms, to grasp with how does it feel just to do nothing? And you know, a lot of my friends and family members have asked me, oh, Christian, how do you do all this busy work and do all these different things and not wear yourself out or not feel tired? Like how do you continue to function in the way that you've been functioning? And I can't tell them because I hate boredom. I don't like boredom. And so it's a whole new adjustment that I have been wrestling with personally. I'm just being transparent. It's hard. It's hard. I'm a workaholic, so I love working. And when I'm not working, it feels like I should be doing something productive. So I can relate with you, Catherine. I'm trying to see if is there anybody else that has any comments or trying to keep up with everything at the same time.
I did, Christian. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I just want to just kind of on top of that, I actually read that, I shared in the chat that there's a devotional on the Bible app for that book that she talked about. So that devotion really kind of got me to focus on, like, because I'm always that go, go, go guy, but this time has been really good for me to prioritize what I do, but also prioritize my time with God to where I stay in the Word and not, you know, to give him time in the Word to grow me and just commune with God. So that has been something that really, you know, is helpful for me, is just staying in the Word, meditating on Scripture, and that really keeps me grounded in times like this, to where I lean into Him and not into my own fears or insecurities.
And let me say something that I think is very important when we talk about this conversation. I think it kind of segues to spiritual growth. And a lot of people, when they think about how they're doing spiritually, their instant mindset is to gravitate towards how somebody else is doing from the outward appearance. Like, oh, that person reads their Bible. Or that person, they spend a lot of time in the Word. And it's great to see that. And it's great to know all of that. But I'm reminded of a book that I read probably my freshman year, so a couple years ago, for a class called Christian Spirituality. We talked about the idea of we're all spiritual babies. We're all going through this process together. And so, yes, it might feel like we're not ahead of somebody. Yes, it feels like we might be behind, but we have to recognize that God is working on each of us and that process is not something that can be sped up, that can be done overnight. That process is a continuous growing each and every single day and growing closer to Christ. And I believe that since we live in this age of instant, like get it when you want it kind of society, we have microwaves and all these different things that are able to provide us with things that we need or that we want instantly. I believe that it has kind of warped our idea of how do we grow spiritually. And that's something that I feel like a lot of people have a hard time understanding and have a hard time wrestling with. And so I encourage you all that during this time that you're at home or that you're having more quality time and being able to spend more time in the Word, to really not compare yourself to somebody else. And how they're walking and how they're growing spiritually, because God is working on you. And it may not feel like it, it may not seem like it, but God is working within you. And the Bible says that he who has begun a good work within you is faithful to complete that good work that he started within you. So it's good to know that even though it might not feel like I'm where I should be with God and in my relationship with God, that God is still perfecting me, that God is still working on me each and every single day. Is there anybody else that that had some thoughts or things that they wanted to share. In a little bit here, we'll kind of switch gears and turn it over to prayer requests and praises and whatever else you guys have. Anybody else?
For me, I find it difficult to disengage from the social media, to be honest, probably because I am here in Canada, but I have family in the Philippines that I worry about, so I have to be updated with the news. But what's keeping me sane is just looking at my experiences from the past that I've been through a lot of difficult situations where there's death in the family. I was sick for a few months and couldn't walk. I lost my job. So, but when I look back and see how God helped me through those situations, looking at what's happening now, I know that I'll get through this. So it's really just that experience and how knowing how God has helped me in the past. And even in our everyday situations, when you look around you, there are blessings. There's blessings every day. So it keeps me confident that God has a plan and He's in control.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I'm thankful and thank you so much, Harold, for sharing your experience and your powerful testimony. I believe that our testimonies are not only able to allow us to grow closer to Christ, but it's a reminder that God is still sovereign. And we're able to look back upon that and see that God is still on the throne and that God has worked situations out. And even in my own personal life, I've taken some time to just reflect. And I feel like a lot of times we get so concerned about, oh man, like this is all my wants and my needs, God. But we don't take time to really reflect upon the goodness of God. And I've taken a lot of time recently to reflect upon the things that God has done for me. And I have seen the growth that has happened within my life. Real quick, I'm going to try to be quick and to the point. There's a story that just came to mind that happened to me recently, about 2 weeks ago. I was in a car accident. Me and a friend of mine, we were coming back here to the church, and I got rammed in the back. Now, this car, it was 2019, so it's a pretty new car. Didn't have it for only about a couple months. And so I got out the car just happy that me and my friend were alive. And just right, like literally, I can look out of this window and see where the accident happened. And, you know, I thought about it. And at first, my first instinct, if I was the same person that I used to be, would be, why did this happen to me? Like, this is a brand new car. Like, why am I going through this? This is my second car in the span of a couple of months. Like, why is this happening? But I actually got out of the car and I was like, praise God. Like, praise God, me and my friend are alive. You know, of course, I don't have that car anymore. It got totaled out. But I'm just grateful to be here. And God has really changed my mindset a lot through those kinds of experiences. And I say all that to say is that as things go by and as I get older and older each year, I begin to realize all the different situations God brought me through. And I get a chance to look back and say, wow, God, I understand why you brought me through this, because that had to happen. You see what I'm saying? And so I'm really grateful for that. So I think that's pretty much all the time that we have for a discussion, but I do want to take some prayer requests and some praises that you all might have, and we'll pray for them and kind of let you all have the rest of your Sabbath afternoons, or Sabbath evenings, forgive me. So does anybody have any praises or prayer requests?
I kind of have a prayer and a praise. So I am currently in the process of applying with Apartment Life, which is a ministry that works on apartment complexes for outreach. And I'm applying for an offsite coordinator position, which means that I don't live on the complex, but I go there and I do events and I meet the people there and befriend them and kind of be a support to the apartment staff. So pray that God blesses that. It's something that I applied to last year and didn't get it, but this year I'm going through and actually, I guess I've been accepted. I'm going through the process of going through the different interviews and whatnot. So just pray for continued favor there and that God leads me to the right complex here and that I can minister to the people there.
Yes, we'll definitely be praying about that, Matt. God is, Matthew, God is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so we'll definitely be keeping that in our prayers. Any other prayer requests or praises? And if you want to type your prayer request, or if you have an unspoken prayer request, you can just indicate that to me by just messaging me in the group chat, and I'll just pray for all of those unspoken prayer requests. Any praises or prayer requests? Trying to start a Jason said, I'm trying to start a photography business and trying to find a job still. We're going to be praying for you for that and that God works on your behalf. Anyone else? Well, if there are, some more prayer requests are coming in. Catherine said, knee issues, praying for healing, that God can be with her knee. Renato said to pray for a friend of mine who is searching for somewhere to live, kind of sticky situation with their parents. We're definitely going to be lifting that prayer request up in prayer. I want to remind you that there are some things that happen when we pray, that prayer changes things. You've probably heard this before, but I believe that when the people of God come together and believe in faith, that God is able to open doors, that God is able to make a way. So I'm praying and I'm going to intercede on the behalf of all of those prayer requests out there right now. So let's pray. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have of coming together and fellowshipping in God. Thank you for this word that you were able to impress upon my heart and that you were able to speak to us tonight and remind us that even though we don't know exactly what the future holds, we know who holds the future. And so God, I have a bunch of family members, because we're all in the body of Christ, that have prayer requests and praises that are on their hearts. And God, I ask that you would be with them individually. But Lord, there are a few that do come to mind, praying for Matthew and his situation with him trying to search for a new job. God, I ask that you would come through for him. And I'm praying for Catherine, that you would heal her, that she would be with her knee and that she would be at peace in you and know that you are still God and that you are still able to do far more than we can ever ask or think. And God, I pray for a friend of ours that is in a very sticky situation and that God, you would help that individual as they try to find a place to stay and be with those who are trying to start a business or trying to find a job during these difficult times. And God, be with our families, be with our friends, be with our jobs, our finances, our houses, apartments, different things that we have, and help us as we deal with these challenging times to remember that you are with us and that you say in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that even if we can't see you right now, if we can't see what you're doing in our lives and how you're working things out, how you're going to pay the bills, how you're going to work the situations out, to know that you are still God and to believe in you and to trust you throughout the process. And one day, God, I look forward to the day when we can all reunite together and be able to see each other and behold you in all of your beauty and in all of your glory. And I can put on my long white robe, as well as all my friends that are on this call, and tell the story of how we made it over, how we made it through all these different struggles, how we made it through all these situations, because we'll be able to spend eternity with you. And Lord, we love you. We look forward to seeing you soon. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.